Have you ever eavesdropped on a conversation before? Or maybe just overheard a conversation that you really weren't a part of, or you weren't supposed to be a part of? Maybe you were at a coffee shop and you overheard a young couple in love talk about how smitten they were with one another. Maybe you, as a kid, overheard your parents talking about what they were going to do for your birthday or for Christmas. They tucked you into bed and you pretended to be asleep, and they walked out into the living room and you bent your ear toward your bedroom door so you could hear what they were saying. I think all of us probably have overheard a conversation that we weren't a part of and maybe gleaned some interesting information from what we heard. Well, today, you get to eavesdrop on a conversation. It's between Peter and the elders of the church. I don't know if you're like me, but when I was a kid, I always wondered what those guys talked about when they got together. I kind of wanted to be a fly on the wall and hear what exactly it was that they were talking about and what kind of church business they were discussing. I even had heard people joke frequently that pastors only work one day a week, and I was kind of thinking to myself, well, I wonder what they do with their free time, and so wouldn't it be interesting to hear them discuss? Absolutely nothing, because that's what they supposedly did, and so I always wanted to be a fly on the wall. Well, today, you get to be a fly on the wall, and so do I. We get to hear how Peter instructs the elders who shepherd the chosen but scattered church. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. I want us this week to think about verses 1 through 4 together. And then next week's going to be our last week in 1 Peter, which I'm kind of bummed about. But there is going to be a charge toward humility. And we're going to talk about what we do when we experience anxiety in life. But first this week, I want to speak specifically to Phil and to Billy and to Chris. Also, I probably should lump myself in with those guys because Peter is writing to us as elders, leaders of the church, and he's instructing us in how to live and how to operate as we shepherd the flock that God has given to us. And so, again, if you have your Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Peter writes to the church and says, "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you shall receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, verse 5, this is for next week, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Phil, Chris, and Billy, two quick observations before we begin to unpack really what does it look like to shepherd the flock, to pastor God's people. The first observation is, notice that the Apostle Peter writes to exhort the elders among the churches. He says in verse 1, "So I exhort the elder among you as a fellow elder." It's interesting when you study that word exhort. It means to encourage or to plead. It could mean to beg or even to invite. The Apostle Peter probably could have flexed his apostle muscles and said, "Listen, guys, I'm an apostle. I'm a sent one by God. Just do what I say. All right? I'm going to write a few things down, and I want you to do them. But Peter doesn't do that. Instead, he writes to the elders and says to them, I urge you, I plead with you, I beg you, I invite you. What Peter says, he is going to say in humility. He is going to say with a humble heart and a posture toward the elders in obedience to God that says, listen, I'm begging you, live this sort of way. There is no other way to live. Follow the example that I'm going to give to you. If Peter wanted to, I suppose he could have commanded the elders to do these things, but instead he simply pleads with them. It's probably a leadership lesson in here for us, probably for all of us. When we use our position of authority or of power to boss people around, now they're going to see right through that. Sure, people may do what you ask for a time, but if you're leading them with a strong arm, barking out orders, wanting to force them to behave or to perform, then I can just about guarantee that you won't be leading them for long. So, elders, I want to plead with you. I want to encourage you. I want to beg you. I want to invite you. And I want to do it as a fellow elder. I'm not just talking to you this morning. I'm talking to me too. I remember a time or two when I was just a little guy when I would get in trouble for something and my dad would sit me down and have a conversation with me. And often he would say to me, James, I want you to know that I'm talking to you just as much as I'm talking. Or I'm talking to me just as much as I'm talking to you. In other words, these things that I'm speaking to you, I probably need to hear just as much as you do. And so Chris, Phil, and Billy, what I share with you this morning, what I encourage you to do, what I plead with you to do, what I beg you to do, what I invite you to do, I want you to know that I'm talking to myself just as much as I'm talking to you. So what is it that Peter encourages the elders to do? Well, it says in verse 2, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Now, that word to shepherd is something that would have been very common to Peter's audience. But it's not so common to us. I know many of you who call Christ Point home, and I haven't come across a shepherd by trade yet. There's some businessmen and women. There's some leaders that we have in our church, some managers, some salesmen and women, some dynamite folks who do some incredible things, some wonderful mothers, some loving retirees. I mean, you name it, and it seems like you can just about find someone at Christ Point who does whatever it is you're thinking of, and yet I haven't come across anyone who shepherds, at least not now, or, well, really not ever, which makes me ask the question, what is it that a shepherd actually does? What does a shepherd do? Occasionally, I'll meet people, and I'll ask them, what do you do for a living? And they'll tell me, and I'll have no idea what they're talking about. So I always ask them, like, what does that mean? Like, they'll throw some IT-related thing out there, and I'll have no idea what they'll talk about, what they're talking about. And I'll smile, and I'll nod, and I'll listen closely, and then I'll ask them, well, explain that to me. I honestly don't know what any of what you just said actually means, and so explain it to me, because I want to know, what does their day really look like? What is it that they work toward Monday through Friday? Well, it got me thinking, well, what does a shepherd really do? Maybe when you think of a shepherd, you think of a guy with kind of a long robe with a staff out in a field somewhere, sort of just standing there. Well, when you think about a first century shepherd, there were a number of things that a shepherd would do. On one hand, a shepherd would lead, right? Shepherds would lead their sheep. They wouldn't wake up in the morning and look at their sheep and say, well, what do you want to do today? You got any plans? No, a shepherd would lead his sheep. There was a place where he was going. Sometimes that meant staying where they were and eating food off the land. Sometimes it meant moving the sheep to another location. But a shepherd seemingly would move the sheep or lead the sheep in a way that benefited the sheep. And a shepherd wasn't in it just for himself. He wanted to take the sheep from place A to place B. Well, in some ways, an elder, a pastor, a shepherd is doing something similar. We want to lead the people in a particular direction. So at Christ Point, we say that we exist to point people to Jesus. And so it's our great joy and privilege as elders, as leaders in the church, to move toward that. We say, hey, we want to know what that means, and we want to paint a picture of what that looks like, and then we want to take you there. So shepherds lead. Pastoring, shepherding always involves leading. It's not just for business leaders or the entrepreneurs, it's for pastors too. Pastors lead the sheep. Secondly, pastors equip the sheep, or at least when the Bible talks about a biblical elder or shepherd, part of the role of a pastor, elder, or shepherd was to equip the sheep. Paul says he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. And so part of the great joy that shepherds have is to equip the people, to equip you for the work of the ministry. I don't know what your perspective on a ministry is or what church is, but sometimes we have the perspective that there will be some paid staff or some people in leadership roles. They'll kind of do the work and other people will watch them. Occasionally they'll applaud them. Every once in a while they'll critique them. But sometimes in our minds we think these are the folks who are active participants, and these are the folks who are passive observers. But that's not what Scripture teaches. Scripture teaches that the shepherds, the elders, the pastors, equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So shepherds lead, shepherds equip, shepherds feed. Right? We talked about how one of the roles of leading the flock was leading them to food. What kind of food does a shepherd or an elder provide for the people? This isn't talking about a Sunday potluck, although I love an old school potluck. This is talking about feeding the flock biblical truth, feeding the flock God's word. I'm reminded of the words of Jesus in John chapter 21, verse 15, when he's having this conversation with Peter, same guy who wrote 1 Peter, and he said, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to them, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. And he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Peter said to Jesus, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Jesus modeled this so beautifully with the disciples, did he not? He entrusted the disciples with what was true, and he encouraged them, he challenged them, he commanded them to go and give away what he had given to them. Shepherds feed the flock. They feed the sheep. To put it in our vernacular or vocabulary that would be familiar to us, pastors or elders give people God's word. One of my desires, one of my longings, pastor, is to give you the word of God, to simply say what the text says and begin to paint a picture of what this could look like in your life. But I just want to feed you God's word. I'm not smart enough to think of things on my own. I'm not creative enough to drum up my own ideas. I want to take God's word and I want to give it to you. Sometimes that happens on Sunday morning behind a camera or in front of folks as we preach the word of God. Sometimes it happens in a Bible study, or many times it simply happens across the breakfast table from someone, or the lunch table, where we take what God has given to us and we give it away. Shepherds lead the flock. They equip the sheep and they feed the sheep. Finally, they tend to the flock, or they care for the sheep. Part of our role or responsibility as elders is to care for the flock that has been given to us. Sometimes when we talk about that, caring for the flock, I'm always reminded of what someone said about pastoral ministry. They said pastoral ministry is about comforting the afflicted and afflicting the comfortable. It takes wisdom to know the difference between the two. Pastoral ministry is about comforting the afflicted and afflicting the comfortable. That's part of caring for the flock of God. It takes wisdom to do this. It takes wisdom to know when to challenge someone, when to speak truth into their life, when to confront them. That's not unloving or uncaring when we do that. Quite the opposite. But then there are other times when we're called to be tender with the sheep, not to crush them in any way, but to care for them when they are wounded and when they are hurt. And again, we need wisdom to know the difference between the two. And Peter says, I want you to tend the flock in your care, or the tend the flock that has been entrusted to you. This is so important when he says in verse 2, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but let me back up. Beginning of verse 2, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. That idea of shepherd the flock of God that is among you is simply like those who have been entrusted into your care, make sure you shepherd them. Right? As people, sometimes we want to be all things to all people. We want to be everywhere all the time. And we're unwilling to come to grips with our own limitations. Peter's writing to the church and says, listen, you can't shepherd the world. You can't shepherd everyone, but particularly shepherd those sheep among you. There are lots of pastures out there, lots of flocks of sheep, people that we may know and love in other places or at other churches. Peter isn't saying turn a blind eye to them or ignore them or give them the silent treatment, but he is saying, hey, you have a responsibility to those who are entrusted into your care. This is particularly challenging to me, because sometimes I can maybe think about opportunities and what's next and what can I get involved with or do. And Peter is kind of saying to the leaders at the church, hey, make sure you're shepherding the flock that is among you. And so he's going to paint a picture now of what that looks like. How do we do that? We want to shepherd the flock of God. That's what we've been called to do. And so how do we do that? Well, Peter says, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you. shepherd willingly. This is not forced. It's not something we have to do. It's not something where we look at the numbers and we're going, oh, well, shucks, we need this many warm bodies. And so if we could just find a few able men willing to grin and bear it. No, Peter writes to the church and he says, exercise oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you. In other words, there should be a desire in our hearts to do what we do, to serve in this way. I remember I was at a church, it's like 15, 20 years ago now, but they had a church government where the congregation would vote on the elders and the deacons. And I can't tell you how many times I would hear someone stand up, because they would have the people kind of share their story. You know, on a Sunday night, they'd stand up, they'd share their testimony, and then, you know, the church would vote on who they wanted in or who they wanted out. And I can't tell you how many times I heard people stand up and kind of do this, oh, shucks, you know, I don't really want to do this, but, you know, I was honored that I was nominated, and I mean, I'm just willing to, you know, serve wherever needed. And I remember hearing this and going, well, geez, don't do it. I know it's twisting your arm. Like, this should be a longing that we have. We should serve in this way, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. And then he says, secondly, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Now, shameful gain could be the applause of people. It could be the benefit to our reputation. It could be the way that we're perceived or seen in the community. But oftentimes, it can be monetarily. Peter's writing to the elders and saying, hey, listen, if you're in this for the money, get out. Like, if you're in this to advance your agenda, don't do it. I say this specifically to me, even more so than Phil and Billy and Chris, because I'm paid staff. I get paid to do this. And the church, Christ Point, has been exceedingly kind to me and my family over the years. But I am well aware that there are plenty of passages all throughout Scripture that warn pastors and elders and people not to be lovers of money. In 1 Peter, Paul writes that an elder must not be a lover of money. And in 2 Timothy, we learn that false teachers are lovers of money. In Titus, we see or read that an overseer must not be greedy for gain. From the ministry example of Paul, we learn that true gospel service covets no one's silver or gold or apparel. In other words, a pastor should live a sort of contented and generous life, that he's not in it to get rich or to advance his own way of life. Now listen, there are examples in Scripture of those who support the ministry of leaders, and it is at times encouraged in Scriptures to go, hey, like, care for this person who has been entrusted into your care. It's okay, I believe, for me to want to provide for my family and to care for my kids. Of course, that is good and right on some level. However, the church does not exist as a means to church does not exist as a means to my financial ends. Instead, elders are encouraged, pastors are encouraged to shepherd and serve with contented hearts. Peter continues, says to the elders, the shepherds, I want you to shepherd the flock that is among you, those who have been entrusted to you by God. I want you to exercise oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Secondly, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. And third, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. We are to shepherd humbly. Being an elder is not a power grab. We don't lead with puffed out chest, chin up, and head held high. Like, we don't walk around and go, hey, we're the ones calling the shots. Sorry if you don't like the decisions that are being made, but that's what we decided. We do not serve that way. We do not use our position of authority to lead with an iron fist or to put people under the thumb of our leadership or to bully people and lead them in such a way that crushes people's spirits. Instead, we are to lead in such a way where we, elders, serve the body of Christ that God has entrusted to us. Mark chapter 10 paints such a beautiful picture of what this kind of leadership looks like. When Jesus called his disciples together and he spoke to them these words, "You know that those regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their superiors exercise authority over them. But it shall not be this way among you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And we see the picture of the way that Jesus led and served and shepherded his people. He did so through sacrificial service. He laid down his life. Jesus reminds his disciples, listen, some people lead because they love the position. Some people lead because they love the power. Some people lead because they love the prestige. Some people lead because they love the press. Some people lead because they're prideful and given to pride. But then he says to them, but it shall not be this way among you. Listen, Phil and Chris and Billy, we as elders at Christ Point are not to lead out of a position of power. We are not to lead because of some prestige we might receive or the perception from people. We do not lead because we love being in charge and calling the shots. It will not be that way among us. We are to lead humble in humility. We're to lead in humility and live lives of humble service to God's people. Peter writes to the church and says, elders, I want you to live a life as an example to those in your care. We, elders, are to live lives setting an example for people who are watching. And I assure you, if you ever doubt it, people are watching. For better or worse, people are watching how you carry yourself, not just on Sunday morning, but throughout the week. People are listening to what you say in passing conversations. People are noticing how you treat others. People are watching how you serve. This is part of being an elder. You, elder, live life in a bit of a fishbowl. For better or worse, people are noticing your way of life. And Peter seems to confront this not by saying, well, they shouldn't do that, that's wrong of them. Instead, he says to the elders, I want you to set an example. Phil, Chris, and Billy, I want us to set an example at Christ Point. People are watching us and the things that we say and the things that we do and how we carry ourselves, how we follow after Jesus. People take notice. I don't say that to discourage you or to worry you or to give you fear, but to continue to prepare you for what lies ahead. If that feels overwhelming to you, if you hear that and you think to yourself, I don't want to be in a fishbowl, then I want to say something that I hope will encourage you. It's amazing to me here that Peter almost acknowledges the challenges and the difficulties of leading or shepherding well, and he inspires the elders among the people with these words. He says, and when the shepherd, this is verse 4, 1 Peter chapter 5, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. In other words, you will be rewarded. Phil and Chris and Billy, I want you to know that when we serve God and his people faithfully, there is a promise given to us that God will one day reward us. It may not be here and now. Likely it will not be. But one day you will stand before the Lord and you will receive a crown of glory. And so, elders, shepherds, men, Billy, Chris, Phil, I urge you, I encourage you, I plead with you, I beg you, shepherd the flock of Christ Point. Lead in such a way that people will gladly and willingly follow. Equip the people in your care. Be men who multiply and reproduce your life. Feed the flock of God. Take the word that has been given to you and entrust it to others, who then will teach others. Tend to the flock of God. Care for those whom God has given to us. Do so with willing hearts and contented lives as humble examples to God's people. Church family, Christ Point, whether you're watching this at home and you are a regular part of our church body, or whether you're following along to hear God's word or to hear what God is doing in this place, can I encourage you? Can I charge you? When you think about the elders, leaders at Christ Point, and you wonder how you might be able to come alongside of us as we all, as the body of Christ, collectively point people to Jesus. One of the things, maybe the most powerful thing you can do, is to pray for the elders. What do you pray for? Well, pray this. Pray that we would lead well, that we would equip well, that we would feed well, that we would tend well. Pray that we would do it with glad hearts, willingly, not under compulsion, that we would live contented lives, that we wouldn't be greedy, and pray that we would live as humble examples to watching people. And my prayer is that in doing so, that God would be glorified and that Christ would be exalted and you would experience his joy. Would you pray with me? God, I want this for us. I want us elders to live this kind of life. I want us to shepherd well. I want us to be effective in what we do. I want us to be passionate about what we do. I want us to realize what a joy it is for us to be able to do what we do. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be effective shepherds. I pray that you would help us to lead well and equip well, to feed well and to tend well. And I pray that we would do it for your glory and for your name's sake. God, we love you. We thank you so much for loving us first. We pray these things in Jesus' name and by your Spirit. Amen. God bless you, Christ Point. We'll see you next week, 10:30.